Hey, everybody. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is supported by Audible, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free 30-day trial. Yeah, 30-day trial right now at audiblepodcast.com/realghost. It's audiblepodcast.com/realghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, how do you console a child that is terrified of something only he can see? Also, could a religious item left behind in a historic building be a sign that something terrible happened to its occupants? A listener finds that the paranormal activity in her home stopped once she began cancer treatments. Plus, a ghost decides to startle a hunter and the deer that was being hunted. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. I think it was an animal ghost in that last one.
I don't think so, just based on what he says in the story.
Okay. We'll identify that.
Okay.
A little bit later on in today's program. We're now being broadcast in Chippewa Falls on CB Channel 3. So if you're driving around and listening to a CB radio, you can tune in to Channel 3 and the radius of about 0.75 miles near Bill's Tree Stand out on Interstate 34. So I want to welcome them as a new affiliate to our...
Is that Chippewa Falls as in Leinenkugel's?
I just completely made that up.
Okay. That's where Leinenkugel's is from.
It is. Okay. It Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Yes. I said that because we were talking before the show about technology and how things have changed from the way that you used to distribute, I guess, creative radio. This is how I started distributing creative radio. And it was completely illegal and not very well done. But, now we're able to do this and put a podcast out to the world. And, we have people all over the world that hear this thing, and it's done, from our house. But years ago, when I wanted to create something to be heard beyond just the confines of the radio station I was working at, something of my own creation, this platform did not exist.
Sure.
You just couldn't do it. So what I did back in those days, I thought, well, here's what I can do, because even the idea of streaming audio or a podcast, just not there, didn't really exist. So what I did, I got a CB radio, and if you're not familiar with what that term means, kids, that would be what you see truckers still using.
Sure.
It's how they communicate. It's what a lot of police, well, police use kind of police band radios and such. But CBs, what was the old show?
Oh, Smokey and the
Smokey
Bandit.
And the Bandit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're using a CB radio. Things like that. So that's, I took one of those one day, borrowed it from a friend, and hooked it up with a giant antenna that's designed to go on top of your house. Mm-hmm. I mean, giant pole antenna, not just like a little whip antenna. And I was on the top floor of our house. It's a two-story. And I leaned it up by the window, hooked up the CB, and then wired the CB into a mixing board. And I started playing music. I keyed the mic, which you're not supposed to do for long periods of time. I keyed the mic, and I started playing music and turning it into a radio station. And I called it CB5, Today's Best Mix. And I was literally playing like top 40 music of 1997. Because God knows the people who were using CB radios in 1997 wanted to hear the latest from Ricky Martin.
Right.
But I'd go on and I had little station identifiers and all of that. And it was great fun. Then eventually I unkeyed the mic to hear what was being said. And all of a sudden I hear,
yeah, I think we figured out about the location of the home where this is coming from.
Because there's like clubs out there that
no.
You know, like there, I believe in our town it was, like the Action Patrol or something. It's like the folks who sometimes go and back up the police at like the craft fair.
Okay.
They like run security at the doors or something. And they're wearing the blaze orange and they have the cars with 400 antennas on top. Those are mainly the folks who are used to CB radios. The consumers, for the most part, not. And then I look up my front window and there's like a couple of those cars with like the 22 antennas on top.
Oh, no.
You know, driving back and forth. They never figured out exactly where it was, but they were on to me. I was almost busted.
I bet you worried about that a lot.
Nah, a little. My mom was worrying far more than I was. Because she looks like, what's going on? Oh, my God, they know where you are. Like there's anything you can do about it. But that was the end of Mix CB Channel 5.
Okay.
Would be interesting to do this format on a CB radio.
Yeah.
You know, I think there'd be more interest in that than playing Ricky Martin, Livin' La Vida Loca. I just think it might be a little more popular. Still,
I think so.
Probably piss a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But still. Anyhow, that's how this whole thing started. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our first story of the day. Mike writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your show for a few months now and figured I'd write it with one of my own stories. This happened when I was a baby, about a year and a half old, so I don't recall it myself, and I'm repeating most of it simply from what my mother told me. At the time, we were living in a small mobile home that my parents had purchased used. I was their first child, and when I was about a year and a half old, I was jumping on the bed playing with my dad while my mom was cooking in the kitchen, which was adjacent to their bedroom. According to my dad, I was jumping and laughing when I glanced to the corner of the room, recoiled back, and started screaming, "Bad man," over and over. My dad picked me up and took me into the kitchen while my mom ran over, and as my dad was passing me to my mom, I once again looked back towards the bedroom and started screaming, "Bad man," and trying to climb over my mom's shoulder away from the bedroom. Neither of them could see anything. They got me in the car, where I again looked up at the front of the house, which they had just ran out of and left hanging open, and screamed, "Bad man," again. My parents then drove me around for a few hours, during which I calmed down. My mom said she was very worried about me and taking me back, but when I got back, I acted as if nothing had happened. Never saw anything in that home again. My mom said at one time that she thought maybe it was her dad who had passed away about 10 months earlier. Perhaps he had come back to see me, and with me being so young, when he died, I may not have recognized him anymore, and when he saw that I panicked, he just never came back. My dad, who is generally a skeptic, doesn't like to talk about the incident, but did tell my brother something many years later, which he never had told me or my mother. After we got back to the house that night, he walked into the room, and though he didn't see anything, he said, "Whoever you are, follow me." He then walked to his truck, opened the door, and said, "Now get in." After that, he drove out to the middle of the woods, opened the passenger door, and said, "Okay, now get out and never come to my house again." Whether that had any effect, I'm not sure. I'll say that I had a very eerie dream about that home many years later. We moved from there when I was 7. This was probably around 20 years after that. Pretty much never think about that place. But in a dream, I found myself standing in the living room there. It was an old and abandoned, with no electricity and covered in dust. I wasn't afraid, but just had a nagging feeling that I didn't belong there, or that I should leave. I calmly walked to the door to leave, which was right beside my parents' old bedroom. And as I reached the doorknob, something told me to look into my parents' bedroom. As I did, I saw a middle-aged black man in a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt wearing a baseball cap. Not my grandfather. There wasn't any expression on his face. He was pretty much emotionless. I then woke up. I don't know if that was an old memory coming back or just my mind wandering while asleep, but the dream had a very, very odd and unsettling feeling to it. Anyway, thanks for taking the time to read the story. I've been an EPP for several months now and listen to you guys every day at work. Keep up the good work. Mike in South Carolina.
I love how the dad left the ghost for dead in the middle of the woods or wherever.
It's proactive.
It is.
And, you know, you ask the ghost to leave.
Mm-hmm.
This is taking it a step further.
Yeah.
He says, let me give you a ride. I was waiting to see if he was like, he went to a cemetery or something.
Oh, yeah.
Drop it off there. Because that'd be kind of like, if you're going to take something logical into an illogical situation,
mm-hmm.
that would probably make sense. But dropping it off in the middle of nowhere for dead, leaving the dead for dead.
Right.
Is pretty much what he did.
Is that where you would leave a ghost?
I don't know where I would drop a ghost off at. I don't know. I think it really kind of depend on what the ghost's personality was,
mm-hmm.
and what it was doing. And then I would drop it off at an appropriate venue.
Okay.
You know, whether it be a certain store or a bar or a restaurant or a hotel or someone's home who I don't like. you know.
You can't do that.
Yes, you can.
No.
Here, go fuck with them.
Oh, jeez.
There you go.
I think I would take it out to one of those abandoned, creepy, falling down homesteads that you see sometimes out in the middle of the field.
It's kind of mean.
Why?
It'd be lonely. The ghost wants to mess with people.
It'd have its own house.
It doesn't want that house.
Okay.
Here's what you do. You call an Uber driver.
Can you please come give this ghost a ride anywhere?
There's no one in the car. Yes, there is. There is someone in your car. You just can't see them. They're dead. Take them over here.
That's hilarious.
And see how that goes.
That would be great.
I challenge one of our listeners to do that.
Oh my God.
And tell us what happens. And actually, I shouldn't challenge that because somebody's going to get pissed and whatnot. So I take no responsibility whatsoever. Do that at your own risk. Please tell us what happens.
Okay.
Anyway, hey, I want to talk about an audiobook that I was just listening to. It's called True Ghost Stories and Eerie Legends from America's Most Haunted Neighborhood. It's written by David Dominey, and it's awesome. I mean, it's totally the type of stuff we talk about on this show, and it's about just a condensed area of hauntings in this area in Kentucky where this takes place. It's based all on true experiences. This happened to him in 1999. He found himself at a loss to explain some disembodied footsteps and mysterious odors that were plaguing his old house. He started talking to the neighbors and everybody else, and it turns out, oh yeah, this place is haunted, that street corner is haunted, that church is haunted, that house down the road is haunted, and basically almost like everything in this area was haunted. It is an awesome book about ghosts, and you can get it right now for free along with a 30-day free trial when you go to audiblepodcast.com/realghost. That's audiblepodcast.com/realghost. If you've already read that book or listened to that book, they have more than 180,000 audio programs that you can choose from. So, and there's plenty of that are pretty spooky too. So feel free to pick another one if you so like. But I do recommend that one. Get your free title and your 30-day free trial membership by going to audiblepodcast.com/realghost. And I pretty much guarantee you're going to love that one. It's very, very good. So many awesome things you can play from Audible right off their app. Download and listen to it in any sort of iOS device, Android, Kindle, Fire, Windows, phone, right on your computer. You know, there's just like how you do this. You guys are up on this. You know how this all works. Anyway, check it out. audiblepodcast.com/realghost. Get your free audiobook and your 30-day trial as well. audiblepodcast.com/realghost. Joanna writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I started listening to your show in anticipation of Halloween, but I've been making my way through your back catalog since I started listening. I consider myself a bit of a skeptic, but really enjoy ghost stories. My skepticism doesn't preclude me from believing in ghosts per se, but I think many things people experience that they chalk up to supernatural probably have more rational explanations. That being said, I do have an experience to share, which very well may be an instance of sleep paralysis, of being between walking and sleeping. This took place about 3 years ago when I was living in Brooklyn, New York. I lived in the same building for years and never really experienced anything spooky or strange. The building was built in 1935 in an area that used to be heavily populated by immigrant communities from Ireland and Germany. I never had anything weird happen until right before I moved out, where they had begun to do major electrical repairs on the building. The wiring was really unsafe. I saw the electricians taking it out, and it was probably original to the building. It was literally wrapped in cloth instead of plastic. You've probably seen old appliances with cords like this. It really freaked me out that I was living somewhere with wires, that with shorts and everything. Anyway, because of the construction, my roommates moved out, so I was all by myself in a fairly large apartment. One day, I was lying in bed trying to take a nap when I distinctly heard heavy, clopping footsteps come from the front room to the living room, both with wooden floors, through the kitchen and then into my room through a closed door, right up to my bed. When the sound reached me, my eyes flew open, but there was no one there. So even though my heart was pounding, I decided I must have imagined it, or that it was someone being really loud upstairs, even though I never heard anything like that in the 5 years of living there with the same people above. As I'm drifting off again, I hear distinctly in my ear someone in a loud, raspy whisper say, "Hey, what are you doing?" Again, my eyes fly open to reveal no one there, but the really weird thing is I had earplugs in. I don't know if that lends more or less credence to the idea that this could have been my imagination, but it sounded very real. I've never experienced anything like it before or after. I ended up moving out myself soon after this happened, which is where a little of the building's history comes into play. My friend came over to help me pack, and she, being Jewish, pointed out to her that there were some mezuzahs on the door frames by the main entrance in the bedrooms. To explain, if you're not familiar, a mezuzah is a piece of parchment with calligraphy of a prayer from the Torah called Shema Yisrael that is nailed to door frames in a decorative metal holder in Jewish households. It's sort of a blessing for the house. To me, it was something kind of cool, like a connection to the past, the people who had lived in my home before me and blessed it. They clearly had been there a long time since it were thick with many coats of paint. When I pointed it out to my friend, she was weirded out by it. She told me that something really bad must have happened to the people who put them because mezuzahs aren't something you would leave behind when you moved. I didn't tell her about my experience, but packed up and moved out without anything else going on. Hope you enjoyed, Joanna.
Maybe they left the mezuzah because it didn't work in that particular house.
Could be.
And they had to flee from it because of the ghosts that were still there.
It's an interesting thing. I don't know enough about that.
I don't know either, but if they didn't take it with them.
Does that mean something?
Well, she implied that because they didn't take it with them, mm-hmm. that they probably left in a hurry, that it's not something you leave behind.
Hmm. Any speculation on that? It'd be interesting to get some insight on that
mm-hmm.
from our listeners, if anyone has any theories as to what exactly was going on in that home. Thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our number. Anonymous writes in this one, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I have plenty of stories that only the paranormal could explain. Many things happened to me growing up. Not so much now that I'm an adult. I'm not sure if they're all connected, like I might have an entity following me, or if my mother and I just have a knack for picking haunted places to live. I moved around a lot growing up and lived in about a dozen or so more places throughout my 24 years or so. Say about a place I lived the longest, which also happened to be the most haunted. We moved in when I was about 9 years old and stayed till I was 15. I immediately began to feel uneasy alone in my room, especially at night. I often felt that heavy feeling of dread that someone was watching me. The feeling would get so overwhelming that I would often bolt out of my room straight into my mom's to stay till morning. I didn't actually start seeing things until she started dating this guy who I hated. He was very mean and would lock my mother's door at night so I couldn't get in when I was scared. One night when I was locked out of my mom's room, I decided to spend the night on the couch instead of my room. There were no hallways in this house. Each room just led directly out of the living room. So if all doors are open, you could see into every room in the whole house from the couch in the living room. The only room without a doorway at all was the dining room and the kitchen. A horizontal beam protruded from the ceiling that separated the kitchen from the dining room. My mother left a red lamp on at all times in the kitchen, so if something was in the kitchen, their shadow would be cast on the beam and easily visible from the couch in the living room. As I laid on our red velvet Victorian-era couch, too scared to fall asleep, I noticed movement coming from the dining room kitchen. I noticed the movement of a shadow that was cast onto the beam, but the shadow was like no shadow I'd ever seen. It was spiky and triangular and moved side to side. It kind of reminded me of old-timey plays where the ocean was a cardboard cutout that two people move side to side to give the illusion of movement on the ocean. The shadow was very defined, but there's nothing I could possibly think of that would give off that shadow, especially coming from my kitchen in the middle of the night. I'd look at it and look away, too scared to try and figure out what it could be. But every time I would catch my eye, it would start moving faster. I finally got too scary for me to handle, and I ran to my mom's door, banging and kicking it and screaming for them to let me in. The worst part is that my mom's room was the closest room to the kitchen. As I stood at the doorway, waiting for them to open the door, whatever was casting that shadow was directly behind me. I could feel a presence there, and it seemed like I waited an eternity for them to open the door. After the thing got much more active in the house, I could hear someone walking around the house, but no one was home but me. I was an only child from a single mom, so I was often alone in that house. It escalated to the point of the entity often pulling my hair while I'd be doing my homework, or a random gust of wind blowing all my homework papers around. It got so bad from there that the minute I walked in the door from school till I fell asleep at night, I could see a dark, cloudy shadow follow me into every room except the bathroom. I could see it at all times. It would hover against the walls and ceilings and move faster around the room if I decided to follow it with my eyes. I could see it clearly when all the lights were turned off in the room. I told my mother, but she'd always dismiss me. I think she was too scared to actually believe me. I think what's the most unsettling thing about the experience is that we had a terrible string of bad luck while living in that house. We were broken into twice. That boyfriend who I hated ended up being a total asshole, and towards the end of their relationship, he became violent and even went as far as changing the locks in our own house on us. We had to stay at my grandma's house a few weeks while we got that problem sorted out. But worst of all, I ended up getting sick with cancer in that house. Once I got sick, all activity stopped. I ended up recovering, and since I've been in remission, we moved when I was 15. I don't know if my sickness has to do with that entity or if it was just a terrible coincidence, but it's strange that all the activity stopped once I started my chemo treatments. I'd like to hear your guys' take on the situation. Sorry this is so long. I absolutely love your show. I'll write in again with more stories, notably the creepiest thing that happened to me in this house. Still gives me anxiety thinking about it. Thanks, you guys.
I think it's incredibly interesting that with the chemo starting, that the activity ceased, because even though that's the first step in, you know, overcoming cancer and getting well, it does not make you feel good and does not leave you in a positive place mentally when you're going through that. So it's not like that would all of a sudden you'd start feeling better and things would start getting better. That's a long process to go through before you finally reach that end where you do feel better.
It almost makes you wonder if it was having the mindset of, oh, mission accomplished. I made this person sick. If it's something dark, something malevolent, it had that power. And once it got to her that way, that it moved on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. When I read the headline earlier, in my mind, I was almost picturing it in the opposite direction.
Okay.
Where I was picturing it, the person had cancer, and when they finally realized it, like there was paranormal activity when they had cancer, but they didn't realize it, then they realized it, they got diagnosed, then the thing went away. That's how I was thinking it was going to go. Mm-hmm. Where it was almost like some sort of sign to tell you.
Oh, a helpful.
Yeah, get checked out, get checked, you know.
This to me,
not so much.
No,
this one.
I don't want to go so far as to say that a ghost can cause cancer, but no. I feel like it didn't help the situation at all.
Sure.
And it wasn't there to help bring attention to what was going on.
Well, I mean, it's not meant as a joke, but there's so many things in our world that people are saying, well, that can cause cancer. This can cause cancer. That can cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Could a ghost?
I guess if it causes enough stress and other things, I don't really know.
It could in that way, it could probably play into immunity health going down and things of that nature. But I don't know. I mean, it's just creepy.
Yeah.
To think of the timing on all of that. We would love to hear more of those stories, and I would love to hear that, although it sounds anxiety-producing, but I would like to hear what happened in the house. So thank you for that. Phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. If you're a new listener to the show, welcome and thank you. If you enjoy this thing that we do, that's where we have the EPP programs. That's a bonus episode every single week that we put out. Full episode. Best stories of the week on there. It's only $5 a month to get that. You get all the backlog of EPP bonus episodes as well, and exclusive video content, lots of extras on there for you. And that's how we keep this show going. So if you like this thing, please consider becoming an EPP and helping us stay on the air. You can sign up on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP. Jack writes in, hello, hope this finds you well. My name's Jack from Fairfax, Virginia. Living in such a historical state, I've witnessed a ton of weird and unexplainable things. For the sake of time, I'll just concentrate on one strange area. I grew up in Northern Virginia and have spent most of my life in the woods hunting. I was fortunate enough to have a large piece of woods behind my parents' house that I was almost always running around in. Since the prime hours for hunting are early in the morning and late in the afternoon, I often found myself alone in the night. This, of course, includes those especially eerie dusk and dawn hours, where it's not quite day and not quite night. It was at those times especially when I would hear weird sounds like people walking and whispering. In fact, this happened so regularly that I was used to it and it no longer really fazed me. Once I had a deer come to me, and as I was sitting ready to take the shot, I heard a noise like someone whistling a song at the deer, and it looked right to where I heard the noise. I ran away. There's no one there. Another time when hunting, I ran into someone metal detecting, so I made conversation and asked what he expected to find. He informed me that the property was part of a battlefield and that it had been a sizable Confederate encampment. Maybe that explains some of the activity. But a year later, I was hunting there with a friend, and we sat all day without much luck. As we were leaving a toilet, we both saw a man and a dog on top of the hill we had just come from. We thought this was odd because we didn't pass anyone, and that area was surrounded by a swamp on one side and a highway on the other. We went back to tell him he was on private property, and sure enough, there was no one there. The woods weren't the only place that was haunted, though. In my parents' house, I often felt like I was being watched and heard my name called when no one was home on multiple occasions. I was really into black metal at the time, and I remember once I was in my unfinished basement playing some video games and listening to some particularly vile music. At the time, my basement was divided in half with two large sheets, one side with a couch and a TV, and one side with storage. Anyway, as I was playing, I heard a large crash on the other side of the room and turned down the volume of the TV and listened. I didn't hear anything, so like a fool, I asked whatever it was to come out and show itself. Nothing happened, so I kept playing. I heard the crash again, so I turned around, and what I saw, I'll never forget. The curtain was pulled back, and there was a thick black mass in the shape of a man peering around the corner at me. I was absolutely petrified with fear. It just stared at me for seconds. I felt like hours before it dissipated and the curtain went back. I ran upstairs and deleted all of my black metal music. I didn't go back down there for a long time. The basement has been finished since then, and nothing happened for almost 3 years until last Christmas. I came home to visit my parents for Christmas, and my cousin was staying at my top floor bedroom with me. In my parents' house, they have those attics, which are accessible only by removing a piece of drywall in the ceiling. And one of those pieces is right outside my door of my room. We never use the attic, so it constantly remains closed. That's why I was so taken aback when my cousin told me he thought it was funny that I was hiding in the attic looking down at him. Thanks for reading this massive story. I hope you can find something, maybe you can find some answers. Keep up the fantastic and interesting work.
So do you think it was a doppelganger hiding in the attic, or do you think he just caught a glimpse of somebody that maybe resembled him and thought it was, that's who it was?
It's hard to say. I mean, you could, if it's something dark that was trying to be seen, but yet, you know, lure someone in, it would take the form of a friend or something friendly. Like, hey, it's a joke, you know, but I don't know. I could really see it going both ways there, and we'll probably never really know. It's one of those things, too, where you just see it for a fleeting moment. You could think it's anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, if you, and if your mind's telling you, oh, this person should be in this area of the house, you're going to assume it's them.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think there's any correlation between when he called it black metal, but I've heard it called death metal,
mm-hmm.
and things starting to happen?
I think there could possibly be there. You know, I think that some of that could go hand in hand. It doesn't sound like he was like actively trying to, you know, practice or summon anything until he flat out at the, you know, in there said, hey, show yourself. But I guess that could be considered somewhat
yeah,
along those lines. But I mean, he wasn't like, you know, messing with Ouija boards and pentagrams and mm-hmm. trying to make a seance or something up. It was just more so a direct request.
I was curious because we've had other listeners, you know, ask that same question, mm-hmm. if that type of music makes a difference. And I've never listened to it. I don't have any idea what kinds of things are said in it.
I find it soothing. I like to listen to it.
Really?
With a couple candles lit.
Okay.
Drink some lavender tea.
Making fun of my lavender tea.
With my death metal. No, I'm not making. I enjoy the lavender tea. It is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's quite tasty. I had a friend who listened to it in high school, and I couldn't stand it. I mean, and it wasn't the content that bothered me. It was just the style of the music. I'm like, how do you get anything out of it? I mean, and if you like it, I guess that's, you like it. It's each their own. But it's one of those things where I was like, to me, it all sounded alike. It just sounded like screaming. You couldn't make anything out. And it was like, what are you? I don't know. I guess, you know, so some folks, it's a release,
uh-huh.
you know, so I think that might be, you know, part of it. I don't know. I guess I didn't feel that it fit my moods at the moment.
Sure.
But, you know, some of the folks who I know that were listening to it that were friends, I get it. You know, uh-huh. they needed a release, you know, for some of the shit they were dealing with. So I guess it might have, you know, fit that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was listening to, like I said earlier, Ricky Martin.
No, nobody should admit that.
What else was in top 40 at the time? Pretty much anything top 40 in the 90s, I was probably listening to. Will Smith, Christina Aguilera,
uh-huh.
You know, anything top 40. That was my world because I was working in it too.
Sure.
So that's what I was currently tuned into. But there you go.
Okay.
Living La Vida Loca. I still don't like that Lou Bega song, the Mambo Number 5. Once I hear that damn thing, it's stuck in my head and I can never get it out.
See, that takes me right back to homecoming.
I hate it. Anyhow. Hi, Megan, let's hear your story.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Megan. I'm calling. This will be about my third time calling. I called in and told the story about my mom's guardian angel a couple weeks back. I wanted to call really fast while I had a quick minute to let you know, this past weekend, my family and I went to the Grove Park Inn in Asheville, North Carolina. We celebrated Christmas there, and we had some weird experiences that were like really cool and creepy, and I just wanted to call and tell you guys about it. We got down there on Christmas Day, and I think we got there around like 5:30. We drove in from Raleigh, and we had a dinner and everything was great, and we had already kind of looked up information about the Pink Lady and kind of the types of stuff that she does to the guests at the Grove Park Inn. She likes to tickle feet. She likes to knock on doors. She likes to mess with electrical equipment. Like, she'll turn things on and off, or, you know, move things around your room and you'll misplace them and then they'll show back up. So we were like really excited, hoping we'd have some sort of experience, and we ended up having one just about every night, and it was really cool. The very first night, my husband and I were 24 and 25, and we shared a room with my two siblings, my two sisters, who are like 19 and 15. And we had stayed up until like 1 playing games and talking and being silly, and we decided we needed to go to bed because we had an early breakfast. So we all turn the lights off and get in bed, and we're laying there, and after about 15 minutes of laying in silence, kind of all trying to doze off, we hear this knock on the door, and I thought it was weird, but I was like, maybe it's my parents because they were in a different room. Maybe we need to go and check out and see, you know, who's knocking on our door. Because at first I was just going to ignore it because we were all trying to sleep, and I didn't want to wake anyone up. So I go up to the door, I open it, and there's no one there. And we were in the middle of the hallway, so at the amount of time it took me to get up and get to the door was no time at all. I would have seen someone walking down the hall, and if they had ran, I would have heard the footsteps because the walls were actually really thin. So I open the door, no one's there, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. So I shut the door, and I said, y'all, did y'all hear a knock on the door? Am I crazy? Did I dream that? And they're like, no, we heard it. Was it Patrick? Well, he was our little brother. And I was like, no, there was no one out there. So I just get back in bed. Nothing else happens while I'm awake. I fall asleep. The next morning, my sister told me that she woke up at around 3 or 3:30 in the morning to hearing whistling. She said she heard, like, music, like swing music from like the 20s and whistling, and it was really getting annoying. She woke up and tried to fall back asleep while she was listening to the music and hearing the whistling, but she couldn't fall back asleep because of it. So she was going to go outside and be like, hey, could you guys turn on the music or stop whistling, whoever it is. And she opens the door to go outside in the hall to look and talk to someone and confront them, and no one was out there. And she said right before she got to the door, she heard everything kind of turn off. But she still went outside anyways to look, and no one was there. So then she got back in bed, and right about the time she pulls the covers back up, she hears it all turn back on again, the music and the whistling. And she was like, what in the world? So she got back up and went to the door. About the time she gets to the door, she hears it all turn off. So she opens it really fast and jumps outside to look, and there's no one out there. And so she was kind of freaked out at that point because she had already, you know, she remembered the door knocking earlier and was like, okay, that's weird, and just gets back in bed, and it wasn't a problem for the rest of the night. So that was the first night and our first couple experiences. The second night we were there, we heard knocking again, and I checked, and there was no one there. It was about 1 in the morning again, nothing. But the whistling and the music had stopped, you know, my sister said. And then the very last night we were there, we were all in our beds again, and we were watching TV, and we decided we needed to go to bed. So we turned the television off, we turned off the light, and we heard this. It sounded like ocean waves. And we were like, what is that noise? At first, it sounded like heavy breathing, and then it was like, we realized it was like ocean waves. And we're getting out of bed, walking around the room, trying to follow the sound. And we realized there was an alarm clock underneath our bedside table that was in the middle of our two beds, and we pull it out, and that's what's making the noise, and we're trying to turn it off, but there wasn't any sleep sound, you know, buttons, or there wasn't any settings to make that happen. So in the world, and finally we saw like a power button, so we hit the power button and it turned off. But we have no idea, you know, none of us even knew there was an alarm clock under the table. And we had been in there, you know, before we turned the television on, it was quiet. We turned the television on, we turned it off, and that sound was on. So it was really strange, and that was what we thought maybe could have been kind of the electrical, I don't know, like maybe the Pink Lady was messing with our electrical stuff in our room. But it was really weird, and it was really cool, and we, like, were all creeped out, and we were kind of obsessing over ghosts the whole time we were there, and I thought it was a cool story to tell you guys. I hope you guys had a good Christmas. And I hope you have an even better New Year. Have a good one. Oh, and by the way, I did become an EPP. My husband signed me up for Christmas. So I've been listening to all the EPP stories, and we love it. All right, y'all have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the story, Megan, and thanks to your husband for making you an EPP.
So something took the alarm clock and put it under the bed and was making it play music? Is that
music and the sounds of like waves? You know how there's like those sleep boxes and it plays different sound effects?
Yeah.
That's what they got. They got the wave sound. But apparently this thing didn't have like the button for it.
That's weird.
And
that was the second night. So it wasn't like it happened the first night where they would have found it.
Sure.
Could have attributed it to whoever stayed there last. This was interesting.
Yeah. It's a good thing that it was just doing the wave sounds and it wasn't like whales mating.
Oh. Yeah, that would have been really weird. I'm not sure as weird as right now, but that would have been pretty weird.
I like to walk through Target and go to the buttons where they have the different, you know, soothing sounds.
Yeah.
You can press and you can play them. It's like Jim Brickman's greatest hits. And it plays a little piano. And then whales mating on a summer day. Bill's mating to 70s disco music.
That, okay.
That's a new one at Target. It's like, wah, 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 wah.
Whales mating to 70s disco music?
Yeah, it's the third one over.
Okay.
Second row.
Okay.
You want me to describe the album cover?
No.
The CD cover?
I think I'll pass on that.
Yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Do you ever think you'd say those words out loud?
There are so many things that I say out loud that I never dreamed I'd ever have to say.
Whales mating to 70s disco music.
I think sometimes you get me to say weird shit.
I can just clip those things out and put them on hot buttons here. All of a sudden, like, whenever I want a good reaction, it's like, whales mating to 70s disco. That's what Jenny thought of that one. I can use those on days when you're sick.
Great.
I can just, it'll be like you're here.
Uh-huh.
You'll have the best reactions to everything.
Okay, great.
Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Aaron. I'm calling from South Jersey. Story that I want to share with you took place when I was probably 9 years old, I'm going to say. I had a sister that was several years older than me. And at some point, years before this, we had inherited a cat. It was a feral cat. That means they're like wild. This is not like a tamed cat that you would bring into your house and be able to pet or pick up or anything. And we had this cat, we named it Buster, and it would hang out. My sister, really, being older than me, she was a little braver. She would try to pet the cat once in a while. She'd be able to pet it, but it was a wild cat. It would disappear for days on end. It would come back. We always suspected somebody else also had the cat. We'd make jokes. Who cares? Anyway, this wild cat was probably, I'm going to say, summertime. We had the air on. We lived out in the woods. It was the middle of the night. I remember I had just lost a tooth. And I put the tooth under my pillow. And I was, like, you know, a kid expecting the tooth fairy. And at the time, my parents were fighting a lot. It was really taking its toll on my sister. She started to rebel and started messing around with a friend with, I assume it was a Ouija board. I mean, I was younger, and they kind of tried to ostracize me and, like, you know, get out of here, little brother, you know, normal teenage girl stuff. But I knew that they were doing some funky business in the room next to mine, and that was kind of setting the stage for what happened. So one night, I'm asleep. I wake up from a dead sleep, and I know for certain, this has never happened before, that there was something out my door. And not only that, but I had a visual, like a mental picture of whatever it was outside. It had looked like, I don't know if you remember the Dark Crystal. There's these things called Skeksis, I think they're called. And they were like the bad guys, but look them up, you'll see what I'm talking about. And for some reason, I knew that that thing was supposed to be, like, it was the night that the tooth fairy was going to come, and instead of having this nice tooth fairy, I had this weird creature outside of my door, and I woke up from this dead sleep, terrified, knowing that this thing was out there, and I didn't hear anything. I mean, it was the middle of the night. I'm not accustomed to being freaked out or scared. This is just one of these things that was happening. So I'm sitting in bed, I turn the light on, I'm staring at the door, I'm a little boy, I'm freaked out, I got this tooth under my pillow, and I'm staring at the door and I hear nothing, but I know it's out there, and this is not a normal thing to happen to me. Anyway, the door actually opens up, and it's that black cat, our cat Buster, that was outside the door, except for I knew full well that it was not Buster. Because I had this incredible mental picture of what it really was. I had this overwhelming dread. I don't even know how to describe what was going on with this. But in my little boy mind, I thought, well, if I pretend that I think it's just Buster, that it won't turn back into the monster. So I mustered up all my courage, and I walked over to the door, and this cat that I could never, ever pick up, it was just not friendly, let me, for the first time ever, pick it up. And I started talking out loud, saying, "Hey, Buster, how'd you get in the house?" And I walked it downstairs, and it felt like a cat. I could feel, like, the ribs of the cat in my hand. It was distinctly cat weight. And I had never, ever picked up this cat ever previous to that. But here is this cat upstairs in my completely sealed off house. There's no windows open. We had the air on. We would have gotten a lot of trouble if anything was open. Somebody has to lure the cat in to get it into the house. And it probably takes, I remember taking hours before. So there's no way this cat was just miraculously in our house. But it was a very weird experience. And I had the cat, or what I thought was a monster that was supposed to be the cat, walked downstairs, dropped it off out the door, and it just walked off, which is also not like this cat because it would have taken off. So to this day, I haven't really thought about that strange experience, and I told my parents about it after the event, and they were just like, "There's no way that happened. You dreamt it, blah, blah, blah." But this is a very, very, very real thing that happened to me, as real as anything. And I can't explain it. I have no idea how I knew that something was suddenly outside my door and I didn't hear it, how I knew what it looked like.
That's where it cuts off.
Okay.
So do you think it was this cat suddenly being tame, or do you think something was trying to present itself as something not threatening by being the cat?
I don't know. I kind of got the feeling there was something else going on here. Mm-hmm. I mean, cats can get into a lot of shit. They can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they can show up in places you least expect them. But I don't know. They're not necessarily opening windows and
no.
things of that nature.
But the parents, the way they just so adamantly didn't believe that the cat even was in the house.
Sure.
That kind of says something, you know, about the cat itself.
Mm-hmm.
That this was not something at all normal for that cat to do. And I don't know that it's necessarily paranormal, but the way he, you know, thought he felt the presence of something outside his door, and then suddenly there's this cat that never gets in the house.
Yeah.
That's very odd.
You think the cat had something connected to it?
Oh, I don't know.
Like the real cat? The
didn't think of that.
Is the cat bringing in the spirits? Brings mice to the door? Brings spirits to the door.
Maybe.
Little offerings, if you will, of the dead.
I don't know. I had not thought about that.
Interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
855-853-4802 is your number. Let's go to Natasha. Hi.
Hello, my name is Natasha. I'm calling again. Okay. I'm from Texas. This story happened when I was 4 years old. It was in my grandparents' house. I was there for the summer with my brothers and my sister. My dad had always told us growing up that there's something really weird about this house, that this old man had committed suicide in the basement, and it was really creepy. And anyways, my grandfather, right after World War II, my grandfather bought the house and he had it moved to where they were currently living from some other town, so we don't even really have an exact, you know, timeline for the history of it or whatever. But this house was creepy, and it's still creepy to this day, and they still live in it. But anyways, when I was 4, me and my sister were sleeping in the upstairs bedroom, my dad's room. I was sleeping in the other room, and my grandparents were sleeping in the room across from us. Me and my sister went to sleep, you know, and then, like, I don't know, it was maybe like a couple hours later or whatever, I woke up and I sat up and I saw this face, like, at the door, like, just, like, laughing at me, like, hey! Like, laughing at me. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm surprised my grandparents didn't wake up to hear it. And then I, like, put the covers over my head, and then, like, after a minute or two, I looked back up and it was gone. And then I got up. Fearless 4-year-old, I would have gotten up for nothing at this age. I would have, like, to hell with this, gone to a hotel room. But anyways, I went in to see if maybe my brothers had did it, and they didn't do it. I mean, they were fast asleep, and then I went into my grandparents' room, and they were fast asleep. So I was like, okay. And so I go back in, and I lay down, and I start going back to sleep, and I was almost asleep again when this thing did it again. And I was like, what the hell? And then this time I got scared, and then I put the covers over my head. And then, like, years later, I told my dad about this, and he's all, you know what? That exact same thing happened to me. And to the T. I was like, so it must have been that old man, huh, trying to scare little kids. And he's all, yeah. And my dad said he has some weird dreams in that house, too. Every time he goes there, he always has weird dreams. So he had a really weird childhood, too. So anyways, that's my story. All right, have a good day. Or good night.
Sounds like a lovely place.
Oh, there's nothing worse than telling your parents and expecting them to be like, oh, it was just your imagination. Instead, they're like, oh, that happened to me too.
Like, yep, shit's getting real now.
That's awful.
But the grandparents are kind of like, yeah, still not believing.
Yeah, maybe they don't want people coming to visit them.
maybe they summoned the ghosts. They're like, hey, let's get out that Ouija board. The grandkids are coming. Let's see what Lucifer has in store for them this weekend. Maybe we can get them gone by Saturday night. Yep.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of grandparents are.
No.
In secret. It's the secret life of grandparents right there. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. If you're an EPP, we greatly appreciate that. If you're not one yet, sign up to become one. Get all those EPP bonus episodes, 70-some of them, just packed with some of our best episodes ever. And it's good juju, if you will. That's exactly what it is.
Juju.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's what it is. And it'll help. I don't know. I was going to make some sort of... These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA. But anyway, help keep our show on the air. Become an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.